We're in the book of Isaiah. We're in chapter 14. Chapter 13, talking about the judgment coming upon Babylon. Chapter 14 continues that thought, that Babylon will be destroyed. Now remember, Babylon is a little bitty city that hasn't come to power yet when this prophecy of its destruction is given. God knows everything. And so you can always figure it's a done deal. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Isaiah chapter 14. You'll see that in a little while, but don't let me get there from here. Let's start at the beginning. Chapter 14, verse 1. For the Lord, speaking about destroying Babylon now, the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall stick to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. That hasn't happened yet, guys, girls. It hasn't happened. We're talking about a future state when Jesus Christ comes back. Then Israel will be brought back to their land, and not just the land you see, but the entire land that was promised. And remember, we're talking about way over to the river Euphrates. We're talking about a huge piece of property. Hasn't happened yet. God is prophesying that for you and I to remind us. This is going to be, you can figure, when God says He's going to do something, you might as well begin to live like and act like and think like He's going to do it. Now, if God said He would take care of you, and He did, then you need to really simply, don't be foolish about it, you need to honestly begin to live that way. God, my Savior, my Lord, He will take care of me. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. Now you got to know that. He didn't lift you up to let you down. He will do it. Now, there is no promise anywhere that you'll get into heaven completely dry. The waves are going to be up there high. The wind's going to blow and you're going to get wet, I think. But you will not go under. He'll get you to that shore. And every day will be Sunday on the other side. And we'll just praise God and serve forever. There's the promise, Isaiah 14. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein you were made to serve. He's talking to his children Israel. And that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Remember, Babylon's going to be completely destroyed. Babylon, the greatest of the Gentile kingdoms. You, O Nebuchadnezzar, are that head of gold. The greatest Gentile nation to ever rule the world was Babylon. And God will even destroy them. The first to turn against God. Remember in the plains of Shinar there. Remember when they built that tower. We talked about that in chapter 13. That's the Babylon. Just showing their outright aggression against God. Still kind of continues on today. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, verse 5 says, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hinders. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Once again, understand, the thought continues from chapter 13 that this is about the destruction of Babylon. And it will be finally completely destroyed. Not just coming up in our history books before, but coming up soon, a complete destruction where Jesus Christ will rule and reign on the earth. That's when you see things like the whole earth being at rest and quiet. Now today, the whole earth is not at rest. It is not at peace. It is not quiet. Did you notice? You probably did. This is still yet future. Verse 8, yea, the fir trees rejoice in thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come upon us. No, a feller is not a guy, but it's a person who chops down trees, okay? I understand that. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto you, Art you also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Very nice thought to show you complete destruction of Babylon and its rulers, the king, that great king. Interesting thought now. He's talking about the destruction of Babylon. He's talking about it over 100 years before Babylon even becomes a power. And Babylon will be a major world power and a mover and a shaker for hundreds or a few hundred years. But he's talking about it before Babylon even comes into existence as a power. God is showing you will be a great power. You will destroy many, but you yourself will finally be destroyed and done away with. That is something you can take to the bank. It's going to happen. But now the next verse we see says something that almost throws people off. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, the debate rages. What on the earth is going on here? Who is the destruction referring to? Is it referring to Babylon and the powers that be? Or is it referring to the devil himself? And the answer is yes. I'll wait. Because what God is showing you, what God is showing us, is the power behind Babylon itself is literally the devil. You read the book of Daniel when you get some time, and you will see an angel shows up. Daniel had been praying 21 days, fasting and praying 21 days. Gabriel shows up and says, I was sent to you the moment you began to pray. And it took me 21 days to get here. What have you been doing? Well, I had to stop and help fight. There's a war going on. The prince of Persia. Now, Gabriel stops and he's fighting with some other angels, the prince of Persia. But he's not talking about the human leader of the Medo-Persian Empire. He is talking about the angel that has been set over that land, that area, the Medo-Persian's empire there that was just coming to power. He said, it took me 21 days to get here. Michael showed up and was fighting. Man, if God would just take the curtains back and we could see what was going on out there, I think we wouldn't want to fly. I think we'd take a ship over to Thailand and say, I mean, if you could see what was going on in the heavenlies, there's literal warfare going on. And so it took the angel 21 days to get there. There is a power behind this Babylon, this Babylonian kingdom, and that power is the devil himself. And so, what an interesting evening to share communion right after a study of Lucifer. We see this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer, light bearer, one who bears light. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Do you know what's behind the trouble going on today in the world? It's not that men and women can't get along. Well, they can't. But don't you understand that there is a power behind what's happening? And you can see political struggles and powers. You'll see the political process, and the people will get together to have a peace talk. But it breaks down. You see, what we don't see is what's really taking place. And what's taking place has nothing to do with those men and those women. It's going on in the heavenlies. And the devil himself and the angels that are with him are controlling the situation. And that's why we're seeing so much ugliness. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. We read in Isaiah 14, 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Jesus said in Luke 10, 17, 18, When the 70 returned again with joy, he had sent them out to do some mission work. And they said this, "Lord, even the demons or the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And Jesus said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Jesus says, "I was there when Satan himself fell from heaven." What does Isaiah 14:12 say? "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Jesus said, "I saw it." Lucifer fell from heaven. We read this in verse 13. "You said in thine heart," you said in your own heart, "five I wills." These are the five I wills that the devil stated himself. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." The five I wills, Satan himself decided, this is what I will do. Now, to really get the full picture, and this may sound strange to you, but to get the full picture, we need to go to Ezekiel chapter 28. And we'll begin, Ezekiel 28, we'll begin in verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God." Now I want you to know right away, he is not, although this is a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, he is not talking about the king of Tyrus. One reason I know that is because the king of Tyrus was not in the Garden of Eden. Who was in the Garden of Eden? Who are the players in the Garden of Eden that we know about according to the Bible? Adam was there. Eve was there. Satan was there. And God was there. God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. See, we're referring here now, although he's talking to the king of Tyrus, he is speaking specifically to and about the devil himself, Lucifer, Satan. And he says this, Lucifer, or if you prefer to call him Satan, the accuser, was number one. He says, "You seal up the sum." You, let's say it in our language, you are the model of perfection. Satan, Lucifer, was perfect in his creation in all ways. He was the model of perfection. You seal up the sum, and you'll notice it doesn't stop there. You are full of wisdom. Satan, Lucifer, and then this may shock you too, was the wisest of God's creations. He was the wisest that has ever been created. Now note, he was and is a created being. Note that. He was and is still a created being. He's an angel. But it goes on. Not only was he the model of perfection, the wisest ever created, but he was also perfect in beauty. The most beautiful of God's creation. Of all the angels that were ever created, Lucifer was the most beautiful. That is not the picture that you get of him. Usually the picture you get of him comes from the Middle Ages, and he's part goat and part man, and he's got cloven hoofs, and he's ugly, and he's got horns. And that's from mythology. That is not from Scripture. From Scripture we read, the most beautiful that was ever created, the model of perfection. He's the wisest that has ever been created. And from what we read here throughout Scripture, that wisdom hasn't been taken away yet. And that beauty, he is the most beautiful ever created. He was in Eden, the garden of God. And you remember that whole situation. Every precious stone was your covering. Every precious stone he was adorned with. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. Now that's an interesting statement. Not only is he the most beautiful, but every precious stone, a stone adorned him. So, and remember on the breastplate that the high priest would wear, you'd see the precious stones. Well, Satan had 9 of these listed. So a beautiful covering that he had. And also he was, ready? Music itself. When he was created, the music was in him. Notice the instruments are him. Let me read it to you again. Interesting thought. The workmanship of your tabrets, which would almost be like tambourines, your pipes, which would be sounds like of organs or whatever, was prepared in you in the day that you were created. This is an interesting critter that we're dealing with here. The model of perfection, the wisest ever created, the most beautiful of God's creation, who was in the garden of God, in the Garden of Eden, who is covered with every precious stone, who was music himself. The music was within him. The music came from him. So some people will say he probably was the worship leader in heaven because the music literally came out of him. Whether he was the worship leader or not, the music was him. And if you go back to the early chapters of Genesis, you will find that the first musicians were not the children of Seth, but they were the children of Cain. For all you musicians. And it's not hard to tell that Satan's still good at music. Just turn the radio on. I mean, it is not hard to tell at all. Now, but it goes on. We're getting an amazing description of this cat. You are the anointed cherub that covereth. What an interesting statement. The anointed, the specifically appointed cherub, which is the highest form of angels, that covers. To cover means to overshadow or to stop the approach of something. Do you understand that? To overshadow or to stop the approach of something. And what was he covering? He covered the throne of God. Satan was the anointed high angel who literally defended the throne of God. I still haven't figured out yet because the Bible doesn't say defended it from what. It looks like to keep the other angels from getting within a certain distance, because God is so holy. He is the one who was anointed to cover, the cherub that covers, to guard all access to God and his holiness. Who was he? Lucifer. Interesting, don't you think? I have set you so. You are the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. If you'd like to know what that means, we're really simply talking about the place where heaven is. Some people would call it the holy mount or the holy mountain of God. It's heaven. So he was, not only was he there in heaven, but you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. The stones of fire, simply in our language, would refer to probably God's holy throne room itself. The Holy of Holies, right where God's throne is. Satan, Lucifer, there protecting, guarding the throne room. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. So we will see he was created completely perfect in every way. Until iniquity was found in you. Satan's sin, listen closely, was self-generated. People, this shows you where evil came from. People say, where did evil come from? Satan was completely perfect in every way. He was the most beautiful. He was, you know the song, I Got the Music in Me? He probably wrote that thing. He was the music. He was the anointed cherub that covers. He defended the Holy of Holies. He was the most powerful angel that was ever created with the most authority. And he was perfect, created completely perfect in every way. But his sin was self-generated. And what was it? Pride. And why do you think, as human beings, one of the toughest things that we have to handle is pride? And Satan, it was pride, self-generated. Remember, five I wills. He asserted his will in opposition to the will of God. I want to be worshipped as God. He's there in the presence of God. He's the most beautiful. He's the most powerful. He's the highest of the orders of the angels. It looks like he was over, set up over, Michael and Gabriel themselves, who are the next top two dudes. He was right up there. He was running it. I mean, he had the authority. And what did he do with it? He decided, I am something. And these angels look at me and the music that comes from me, I will be like God. I want to be worshipped. And God said, no, it's not going to happen. Jesus said, I beheld, I saw Satan fall from heaven. We go back to Isaiah 14 now, and you read this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Because you said this. You said the five I wills. You said in your heart, verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. That would be all the other angels. I make sure I'm above them all. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And I will be like the Most High. He decided he should be worshipped because of his power, because of his beauty, because of his wisdom, because of his authority. He said, I want to be God, and I want to be worshipped like God. And remember, God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. God threw him out. Not completely. His power and his authority were taken away. He is now no longer the anointed cherub that covers. Interesting that Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil. He's speaking to the hypocrites. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now listen to this statement. He abode not in the truth. That means he was there, created, and he gave it up. He abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And now, you know what Peter tells us? That the devil, your adversary, like a roaring lion, walks about to and fro, just like a roaring lion, seeing who he can rip up and swallow whole, devour. The devil is looking to destroy you, your ministry, your family, everything about you. And he's wanting you to follow him. I will be like the Most High. I want the worship of others. And people follow the devil. And every time I assert my will in opposition to the will of God, that's the sin of the devil. That's the pride. God is saying, this is what I want. I'm saying, I don't care. This is what I'm going to do. That is the thing that got Satan kicked out. Now listen, he was perfect. He was the wisest that there has ever been. Don't you think he was smarter than me? Yes. And he was not able to hold on to his position because of pride. That's what God is saying. The power behind Babylon is the devil himself. Not only will I destroy Babylon, but the devil himself will be destroyed. That's what God is telling you. Now, another thing I want you to know before we move on. Satan, Lucifer, was not alone in his rebellion. He was not alone. It's not like he was the greatest, the wisest, the most beautiful, the most perfect, and everybody. And he said, I'm taking your job. And God said, get out. And he walked away and all the other angels said, boo, bad. No, Listen, everybody. He must have been something. Because angels, think about this. Angels who are around God's presence and serving the Lord chose of a free will to follow the devil. The angels, just like you, are created with a free will. You've got a choice to make at any moment. You can make the choice. And the angels, they're around the holiness of God, the brightness of God, all the goodness, all the perfection, all the worship, and all the things that were going on in heaven. They looked at Satan and said, man, we're putting our money on you. We think you can take him. I don't know what kind of power this devil must have. But even angels thought he could pull this off. Now, don't you find that interesting? They thought he could do it. And so they followed him. Now, you read in Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say, Jesus is at his second coming, to them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is not alone, and there are many who followed him. Second Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels, plural, that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Angels, plural. Revelation 12:7-9. It's coming a future event where Satan will no longer be allowed to even enter into heaven. Right now, he's still got access. He is not guarding the throne like he was before, but he has access. Read Job's chapters 1 and 2. You'll see that. Read the book of 1 Kings. You'll see the devil has access to that throne room. But there's coming a time when access will be denied from that point on. Revelation 12:7-9. We read this. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which would be the devil. And the dragon fought, and listen, his angels. And they did not prevail. Neither was their place, plural, found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He is not alone. And so you will read in Ephesians this statement. Ephesians 6:11-12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a hierarchy of the demon world, the fallen angels, Satan ruling them, and other demons in control of certain countries. We learn that Michael is the angel who is over Israel. We learn that there are different demons running different countries, and they are the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is real. This is not some kind of game or some kind of make-believe. You take a look at your life and you'll see if you're a Christian and you're really wanting to serve God, you'll see that your life isn't that smooth. It just doesn't seem to be going exactly like you thought it was going to be going. And you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? Sometimes you are doing something wrong. And God is simply allowing a little pressure so that you'll turn back to Him and call. Many times you are simply walking with Him with a heart to serve, and you're being shot at from all sides, and it is actually the devil and the angels that are with him. You are actually under spiritual attack. Christians cannot be demon possessed. So don't come to us and tell us the demons are in you. Well, then you must be born again. You say, I am born again. Then Christians cannot be demon possessed. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Now, if you could be demon-possessed, the verse would read, greater is he that is in you than he that is also in you. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. So it is not a fact. Now, listen, guys. I know you're listening to some of the psychology and some of these popular books, and I know you're reading these things, and you're thinking, the reason that I'm falling apart here is there's a demon in my life. You can be oppressed and be harassed, but no, you've got God, the Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence in your life. Don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Ghost? And believe me, the Holy Spirit in your life, Satan can't even get near the same room hardly. So keep in mind, God says, I'm going to destroy the devil. He says in verse 14, the last of the I wills, I will ascend above the clouds the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15 says, yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now I want you, if you're a Bible underliner and you don't mind, mark that in your Bible. I'll tell you why. We have people praying that the devil will get saved. Now children do pray that, because I think children don't have a grasp, but I know there are adults, and I know there are churches that teach. You pray for the devil, he'll be saved. No, here's what is coming for Lucifer and the angels. Jesus Christ became a man. He suffered and shed his blood on the cross for the sins of the world. And so you see here, this is what fate awaits Lucifer and those who follow him. You shall be brought down to hell. Not only Sheol, but the place of fire. To the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you and say, is this the one that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, they go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Not only will Babylon be destroyed, but the power behind Babylon eventually will be destroyed. You're going to read in the book of Revelation, when we finally get there, that Satan and his angels are thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. That is the future of the one who was created perfect. Now, I know a lot of us think, if you'd have just given me a better family, better husband, a better wife, if you'd just give me a better shot at it, a better income, if you'd have just given me, if I had better situation, wait a minute, Satan himself turned. We our champion, the book of Romans says, was Adam. He was the best shot at getting everything right. He was our champion. He was the one. And he sinned. You know, when you see our weightlifting team go to the Olympics, and the dudes are huge, and they curl their car to practice, you know, and they get out there and they lift weights. And when you see, I remember watching it one time, and they're lifting just ridiculous weights, and the Russians beat them. Now, wouldn't it have been silly for me to go, well, they didn't beat me, send me over there. No, we sent the best we had, man. That's it. We put all our money, we put all our hopes. That was America's team. They were the best of the best. They couldn't make it. Believe me, you and me couldn't either. We had sent the best we had out there into the Garden of Eden. Adam, he was perfect in every way. He was our champion, and he blew it. We need a Savior. We all are in need of a Savior. With all the things going on in our lives right now, we need Jesus. We see what's coming to those who, in their own pride, say, my will be done, not yours, God, mine. I don't care what your word says. In this situation, I'm doing what I feel is right. I don't care what your word says. I'm not going to be treated this way any longer. I don't care what your word says. I'm not going to put up with any of this anymore. I don't care what your word says. I'm going to cheat and steal because it's the only way you can get to the top. I don't care what your word says. What you're saying is, I will be like the Most High. I will be listened to. I will be bowed down to. I will be the one that's in control. You're following in some bad footsteps, and those words have been spoken before. Don't set your will against God's will. You shall not be joined, verse 20, with them in burial, because you have destroyed thy land and slain thy people, and the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers. They that do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. Now remember, he's talking about Babylon, but he was talking there for a while, the power that's behind Babylon. Now look what comes up. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Now look at verse 24. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That's my God. He's an awesome God. All he's got to do is just think it, and it is done. You can fight it all you want, non-believers. You can stand against the Lord all you want, but just God says, this is the way it will be. And God has set up our universe to work a certain way. And if, like J. Vernon McGee says it, well, if you don't like it, go create your own universe and live there. But until then, you must live under the way God has set it up. And because you were born in this flesh, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no hope for you except in Jesus Christ. And God says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Babylon will be destroyed and completely destroyed eventually. And Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom. Now, as you take a look at what we've just read, now we prepare to share communion together. Where is your heart? How much have you been setting your will against his? Because on paper it looks right. Or because of how you feel. Because maybe someone has mistreated you or hurt you. And you've decided on a path. Yet God's word is sure. God says, hey, I have sworn it. I thought it, it shall come to pass. I purposed it, it shall stand. You told me, Lord, that you would take care of everything that concerns me. Never once did he ever say he would do it my way, but he has said time after time, I'll see to it. I'll take care of it. And you know, so far, he has not done it my way. So far. And when I can look back, and I'm so old now, and I can look back over the years, and I can honestly tell you, I am so thankful he didn't do it my way. There was this girl I wanted to marry. I am so thankful. Because I saw her, a few years ago. Something happened to her. She got old. I stayed young and very handsome, obviously. She got old. And I thought, man, see, God knew what he was doing. He knew. She probably thought the same thing, huh? Nah. I know what you're thinking. You're in the middle of some suffering. You're in the middle of something that's not going right. And you don't want to take God's word for it. And there's that enemy back there whispering in your ear, look, you don't deserve this. You got a right. You know what? I became a child of God a long time ago. And according to his word, what he said to me is, now, I bought you with a price. You're mine. I read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All the living that I do now is for him. He tells me where to go, how to get there, what time. He'll tell me. I don't have to worry. I always just say, Lord, just don't let it snow. That's all. And then he does or he doesn't, depending upon what he's doing. He has never let me down. I have been in some miserable situations. I've lost a lot in my life. My own sin destroyed much of my life. I lost it. It's gone. Can't get it back. And still, I can look back and say, God has been good to me. He has held me up. I would be a lot worse off than I am now, mentally and everything else. Yet God has been good to me because He loves me. Why? No good reason. He loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You come to Jesus, they are gone. Now you are free to walk with Him in the midst of the ugliness with the devil and his angels destroying this world. You can walk with Jesus in safety, knowing that you are His and that heaven is not that far away, and you will be there because of Him. He'll get you there. He'll get you to that shore. He's going to do it. Jesus said, we're going to share communion. Jesus said, don't forget me, remember me. And what He meant was, as often as you drink, take this cup, as often as you take this bread, remember me. We forget what we're all about, and we need to remember Jesus. What did He do? He gave His life freely. He went to the cross, no whining, no complaining. As a matter of fact, 6 months before it, they tried to talk Him out of it, and He had set His face like a flint. They said you could see it in His eyes. They could tell He wasn't going to change His mind, so they just gave up trying to talk Him out of it. He said, I'm going to do what my Father says. And He went to the cross that you might have life. Right now, right, and you're right in some struggles. As communion comes forward, give them to God. As we prepare to share communion, as we bow our heads together, you forgive those who have trespassed against you. Now, they may not deserve the forgiveness, but you got to be, Jesus says, remember me. Leave it alone. Turn it over. Give it up. Get the bitterness and the anger and the jealousy, the confusion. You turn all that all over to Him. He says, cast your cares on Jesus because He cares for you. Give it up so that you're free to walk, so you're free to hear, so that you're free to just be used. Turn it over to Him. Let's bow our heads together as the ushers come forward.